This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov, yes. Well, we're watching with some interest a number of things, but from Israeli perspective, with some interest to see whether the meeting in Doha is actually going to take place today. The Trump administration insists that there will be a meeting in Doha between Iran and the US. And we understand that Steve Witkoff is actually on his way over to Doha, having briefed the Congress yesterday. And he's now heading to Doha in what is billed to be a meeting directly between Iran and the US. The Iranian delegation is also on its way to Doha, but they are not planning to meet the US. Delegation. They're apparently going to be holding discussions with the Qatari delegation. And unless, I guess, they meet up in a mall somewhere coincidentally while they're shopping for goodies to take home, I'm not sure whether there is actually going to be a meeting or not. So, yeah, very, very fascinating situation and very fascinating information and the way that the words are playing out in the public domain. Trump insisting that there will be a meeting, the Iranians insisting there won't be a meeting. Trump then saying, well, maybe the meetings will be important, maybe they won't be important. The script that's being delivered in public is very, very fascinating to watch. And the power play between the two, I think, is certainly a fascinating study. Also, just another little snippet that finally Israel has got together and has decided to send an official government delegation to Venezuela to help in the recovery of people and helping in general following that earthquake. The foreign ministry, the IDF, and the Home Front Command have got a group of people together officially under a formal diplomat ambassador. Yoed Magen will be the foreign ministry's nomination to head this delegation. He is a former Venezuelan. He grew up in Venezuela. He has been Israel's ambassador to Paraguay, and he's now on his way back to Venezuela to help a very, very senior and a very capable official delegation help with the recovery process in Venezuela, even though, as I said yesterday, Israel and Venezuela do not have official diplomatic relations. But somehow, in the moment that help is needed, a way was found to overcome that particular obstacle.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Israel's Defense Minister Katz claims that President Trump's pressure saved Hezbollah from collapse. That's quite a big statement. What is the basis for it?
I think it's a massive statement, and he presented this assessment. He was along the Northern Front yesterday, and he said that he, as far as he's concerned, the fact that President Trump demanded a link between Iran and Lebanon while negotiating with the Iranians effectively saved Hezbollah from collapse. Now, it's an easy statement to make because one never really knows what the alternative outcome would have been and what other pressures might have been brought to bear. When one has no real idea, but one does have the sense, I certainly got the sense from his statements, that Israel had something of a plan that they were about to implement, which was effectively stopped by the Trump administration in the interests of trying to come to an arrangement with the Iranians in a negotiated settlement. Now, I've said this a number of times before, and I'll say it again because I think it is important. There is no doubt in my mind that Iran decided to draw a direct connection with Hezbollah because Hezbollah were effectively on their last legs. Up until now, they have really managed with Iran's support behind the scenes, but without the need for Iran to come out publicly and say, we are insisting upon certain terms in our agreement with the US that relate to Hezbollah's safety in Lebanon and something that will effectively allow them to continue to exist. And by that, I mean that the Iranians insisted that Israel declare a ceasefire or a ceasefire be declared in Lebanon and that no further military operations take place there in order for the Iranians to also agree the other terms of their agreement to end the war in Iran with the USA. And by drawing that direct link, I think we can safely infer that Hezbollah were in dire straits and that whatever was happening in Lebanon really needed Iran to come and make a direct and public intervention. So I can sort of see what he's saying, although he has no real way of, when I say he, I'm talking about Defense Minister Yisrael Katz. I can see what he's saying. But he has no real way of proving one way or the other. He can just say, well, if they hadn't done that, then we would have absolutely decimated Hezbollah. But we should also understand that the agreement that I spoke about yesterday between Lebanon and Israel that was signed last week in Washington also is a very strong indication of the weakness of Hezbollah at the moment in Lebanon, because previously, for many, many years, the Lebanese government, even though they might have been inclined to make steps towards Israel, would never have dared to do so because of the power of Hezbollah in Lebanon. And now the moment was seized.
Interesting. So it obviously indicates as well, yeah, that they just
absolutely,
that don't present the same
weakness. Exactly. So, you know, I think that a lot of the evidence does support Yisrael Katz's statement. It won't help Israel's relationship with the USA, which is already going through a slightly flaky patch, some interesting backwards and forwards. But it's nevertheless an interesting statement, and one does wonder, does make you wonder what would have, could have happened had this not been the case.
I wonder how much of an impact this major tunnel network that Hezbollah's tunnel network that Israel discovered very close to the border, I wonder how much of an impact that had in weakening Hezbollah, because it obviously would have, you know, the fact that Israel didn't know about it until very, very recently must have given Hezbollah a tremendous amount of confidence.
I think that there are really two angles to the weakness, or three perhaps, that Israel has addressed over the last few years. The first of which is senior leadership, that Israel has taken out the senior leadership, and Hezbollah have been very, very strongly led by the senior leadership. And so one, two senior leaders were taken out very close to each other. Naim Qassem, who's currently the head of Hezbollah, doesn't have anything near the status and the strength that the previous leadership had. So that's been weakened. I think we can still talk about the pager attack or attacks, because it took out a middle layer, which were really the people, the army, sending the forces to the front line. That layer was damaged, decimated. Their morale was really completely destroyed. And of course, people were taken out of line. And I think the third aspect is the infrastructure that Israel has continued to destroy near to the border along the Lebanese side, the weapons, the ammunition, and the tunnels. And one, you know, the destruction of the tunnel doesn't only reduce their ability to carry out an attack, but there's also a morale issue that every time Israel discovers another piece of infrastructure, another attack mechanism, another weapon storage facility, another tunnel, and destroys it and shows its power, that it can act with impunity currently in that area of southern Lebanon, that is morale destroying for the Hezbollah forces.
And yeah, Rene is saying, and I do hear it, Rene is saying they weakened, but still unfortunately managing to kill our soldiers. Yep, but no, nothing positive about that, unfortunately. The IDF has been sealing tunnels in Gaza. How's this being done?
Well, the big news that came out yesterday, and this is kind of just one of many, but the big news that came out yesterday was that the IDF had gone to that tunnel in southern Gaza where Hadar Golden's remains were held for an extended period of time, and ultimately his remains were taken from there for burial in Israel, finally, after so many years. That tunnel was a system of tunnels that effectively ran for 16 kilometers under the ground. It involved something like 80 accommodation units under the ground in that 16-kilometer area. It involved huge infrastructure. And the question for Israel now is that now that Israel has free access to Gaza and relatively free access to Lebanon, what is the right way to get rid of these tunnel systems, which have been dug over many, many years and really laid out and huge investment made in them? What does Israel do now that we've got free access to them in order to ensure that they don't present a threat in the future? Now, blowing them up is, of course, one option, and we've seen that option exercised in a number of different instances. The problem, of course, is that by blowing them up, you also destroy everything that's above ground, that's immediately above those tunnels. And you can imagine that 16 kilometers of tunnels involves destroying a lot above ground. Residential neighborhoods, mosques, kindergartens, clinics, schools, even UNRWA facilities are all above ground where this tunnel has been running or has run up until now, because Israel has decided, instead of blowing it up, just to simply fill it with concrete. And so 30,000 cubic meters of concrete were poured into this tunnel near the Philadelphia corridor to seal it up. Wow. And that's a strategy that Israel has been adopting in many cases across Gaza to somehow try to take out of commission so many of these tunnels that have had that presented a threat to Israel, many of which were really not even known about because, of course, being underground, Israel finds it very difficult or has found it very difficult to track exactly what's been going on there. It's been astonishing to discover how much infrastructure investment has gone on in Gaza underground in these attack tunnels, all with the objective of destroying Israel. And so concrete is being poured down these tunnels in huge quantities in order to seal up the tunnels. Is that a long-term solution that will ultimately work? Well, we'll only find out. But I think it's not a bad solution.
A very expensive one, though, I imagine.
A relatively expensive one. I mean, none of this is cheap. None of what Israel is doing right now is cheap. Having soldiers on the borders, having our yellow zone that we continue to hold reserve soldiers and the arms and the ammunition and the time and the effort and the command from the central command. All of this is extremely expensive. And of course, the equipment and the clothing and the food and everything else that goes with this to try and maintain a war, which has now lasted 1,000 days. 1,000 days of war have now passed. And none of this is cheap, that's for sure.
The Board of Peace meeting in Cyprus this week, and that's to work out the next steps of taking over control of Gaza. But what is the current status in Gaza itself?
Wow. The Board of Peace, I think, was supposed to have taken over control of Gaza with this a body of Palestinian technocrats who were supposed to go in and replace Hamas more than 6 months ago. Since then, nothing. In other words, Hamas continues to still control Gaza in spite of everything. A very weakened Hamas, admittedly. But nonetheless, this Board of Peace, which has been, you know, announced with great fanfare and, you know, quite high level individuals, well-known individuals getting involved, including Tony Blair and others who are very well known and have got, you know, diplomatic credentials to somehow make things work. And Nikolai Mladenov, who has been appointed as the border pieces Gaza envoy, and he comes with great credentials in order to make this happen. 6 months more have gone by. Nothing. The border peace are meeting in Cyprus. Last week they met in Egypt. They're not getting any closer to Gaza. And so we understand that they put this all down to Hamas's refusal to give up their weapons. That is what the border peace is saying, that the current hiatus, the current lack of progress is because Hamas are refusing to give up their weapons. They also blame the Israeli government to some degree, being sticky, not being willing to cooperate fully with what the technocratic government is supposed to do. But they've really made almost zero progress in terms of taking over. This was the idea that Hamas would be sidelined, they would be disarmed, and that Gaza would become a peaceful place. Well, we're far from that right now. And I don't see a possibility in the future that Hamas will become disarmed at all. So I have no idea really what to expect in terms of what this border peace might be able to achieve. They're going to sit in Cyprus, as I've said, for the next 3 days to go through what their recalibration is. Tony Blair's Institute for Global Change, which is a government consulting firm, is involved. He sent people along. Tony Blair himself is likely to be in Cyprus this week in order to try and help things along. But because I don't see any possibility that Hamas can be disarmed, and because this is apparently the main obstacle to having the border peace take over control of Gaza, I don't know if this is really a viable solution.
That is where we leave it. What do you think? 0618951019. Anthony Raff, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.